It's Mamish a goner of Eretinsky. You should listen to his shir. Do you have on Kol Torah Kula? Oh, Eretinsky you don't have?
His number.
Okay, Arbitzal Eretinsky. His Mamish one of the Gedolei Hadar. Okay, so one of the Talmidim of his from Mansi put out a number of volumes called Mishkan Bitzala. So in the volume on Bereishis, he has a piece on Asar B'Tevis. Again, the Yesodos here are somewhat found in other Svarim, but he says it in a nice way. Okay, he starts off by saying, "Hinei be'emes kasha lekabel roshim chazak mitzom Asar B'Tevis." It's hard to connect deeply to Asar B'Tevis. Why? Just compare it in your mind for a second to the other fastings. So Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur, it's in the whole Zman of Tshuva. So your brain's already, you're already engaged in a certain way, you're already trying to connect to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you're focused in that way. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks. Also, it's a different energy, there's a different type of focus, there's an intensity of the Bein HaMitzarim. Asar B'Teves is kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it's hard to connect, he says, because of that. It's hard to know exactly what the feeling of Asar B'Teves is. So he writes here, "Sharei eno babizman shel tshuva kmo tzom gedalia v'yom kippurim v'gam eno kolol b'tkufas beinu mitzarim." It's not like Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So it's hard. It's hard to connect to Asar B'Teves. Va'od tam shekashel is orer mitzom ze hu shebashkafu rishona nira tzom Asar B'Teves pachus chomer mishar tzomos. And furthermore, on a certain level, it's hard to connect to because it seems to be less severe, less intense, less chamor, right? Less stringent than the other fasts. Why? Sherei tzom zehu al shem ha-metzur shabana Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel sav of Yerushalayim. Because today, what are we commemorating? We're commemorating the fact that Nebuchadnezzar built in some type of structure to enclose Yerushalayim, to entrap Yerushalayim. And by the way, this lasted for, I mean, it's not like a particular moment in time, right? Chorban Beis HaMikdash, like the day that you know, the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire, the day that it burnt. So that's easy to mark, it's easy to commemorate. Yom Kippur is easy to tap into it. Asar B'Teves is just sort of the beginning of a tkufa that lasted close to 3 years, the siege around Yerushalayim during Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel's reign. Right? There's a feeling that this is not like a particular day. I'm not commemorating it, but yes, this was the day that maybe Nebuchadnezzar first began to entrap Yerushalayim in that way, to lay siege around Yerushalayim. But it's a long-lasting period, which again ends with something that's much more significant, seemingly, which is the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So let's try to understand maybe the opposite. Right, that Asar B'Teves on a certain level we're about to see in Halacha, is the most stringent. In what sense? HaBeis Yosef mevi b'shem ha'avudraham. Beis Yosef brings from the Avudraham something, one of the Rishonim, Rav David Avudraham, brings an amazing thing. She'im tzom Asar B'Teves hayachol b'Shabbos hayadocha osa. The Avudraham says if Asar B'Teves fell on Shabbos, we would fast even on Shabbos. Now, does Asar B'Teves fall out on Shabbos in our calendar? No. Did it fall out on Shabbos in the time of the Avudraham? No, because the Avudraham lives also after the same calendar we're working off of. So, no.
Right?
But Asar B'Teves is the one fast that could fall out on Friday. Interestingly enough, yes. Okay, and we do fast on Friday and go into Shabbos, which is very unusual, extremely unusual. Oh, yeah, that's the first fast?
I think so, yeah.
But like Yom Kippur, we would fast Asar B'Teves even on Shabbos. And that's a big chiddush. That's a very big chiddush. B'zeh davar pela, harei afilu Tisha B'Av. Right? Even Tisha B'Av we don't fast on Shabbos. Shetukan al shem chorban habayis eino docha Shabbos. Uma yisaron liyud Teves. So what exactly is the added quality of Asar B'Teves? So it's such a serious day that we fast even on Shabbos. Hard to understand. And furthermore, what's the source for this? If you go to the bottom, 3 lines from the bottom, Havudraham hevi pasuk be'etzem hayom hazeh. The source that we fast on Asar B'Teves if it falls on a Shabbos is because in the context of describing this event, it says be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day. Va'al zeh kosav ha-beis Yosef lo yadati minayin lo. So the Beis Yosef says to the Vujram, I don't know, where did he get this? Now what do you mean, where did he get this? He just told you where he got it. He got it from the fact that the Pasuk says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day. The same way that Yom Kippur, right, we will fast on that very day. So to us, Arba Teves, Be'etzem hayom hazeh. We fast on that very day, regardless of what day of the week it is. If it's a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, Friday, even Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't get it. V'hiksha ha'Baal Shem Tov, so Baal Shem Tov said, I don't understand what the Beis Yosef doesn't understand. I turn the page. Ma'akavano lo yadati. I don't understand what he doesn't understand. He brought a pasuk. So obviously, right, what he meant by lo yadati is, I don't understand why that should be so. Right? It's not a question of what the source is. We know what the source is. He tells us the source. Be'etzem hayom hazeh is the source. But the question is, why should that be? What is it about Asar B'Tavis that it's so stringent that we would fast even on a Shabbos? So he writes in the middle paragraph on the next page. Uva avar
tiratznu chasi tshuva.
So in the past, says Rabbi Rudinsky, I've offered what I think is a partial answer to the question. It's a very good answer, but you'll see there's questions on this approach, and that is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Amar of Yehuda bar Idi, Amar of Yochanan, Eser masaos nasa shchina. The Shechina didn't leave the Beis HaMikdash in one shot. It was a gradual decline, right? Of the Shechina moving itself, so to speak, outward from the Beis HaMikdash. 10 stops. Asara, Eser Masos Nasa Shechina. The Shechina traveled 10 stops. Uva Rashi explains, Nasa Shechina, what does that mean? That the Shechina traveled. Listalik me'al Yisrael ma'at ma'at kishachato. In accordance with our behavior, we drive Hashem away, we bring Hashem close. It's reminiscent of the Medrash that says that from the time that Avram discovered Hashem until Hashem's Hashras HaShechina in the Mishkan, there were seven generations of bringing Hashem down. So Avraham brought Hashem down from, right, we say at the end of Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, because Hashem is going back up through the seven, you know, seven Rakiyim, as Hashem's presence is ascending, right? So throughout history, there were tzaddikim who brought Hashem down. So Avram brought Hashem down. Yitzchak brought Hashem down a little bit more. Yaakov brought Hashem down a little bit more. Right? Levi brought Hashem down a little bit more. Seven generations, right, from Avram to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point that we have a Mishkan, and there's a Hashras HaShechina. Right? There were seven generations that pushed Hashem away. Awesome. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present in Gan Eden, right? And then Adam sinned, and then Cain and Hevel, and then different Averos pushed Hashem away until Avram came along and began the process of bringing Hashem back. Okay. So in Beis HaMikdash, right, the degree of presence of Hashem is in accordance with our behavior. The more we sin, says Rashi, the more we slowly drive Hashem out of our life. Va'od mavur Hashem b'gemara Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shisha chadashim nisak v'shchina liyisrael b'midbar Shema yachzru b'tshuva. Interesting. The Gemara says further over there in Rosh Hashanah that for 6 months Hashem remained in the midbar, hoping that they would do tshuva. Hashem was like on standby, hoping that Chal Yisrael would bring Hashem back in. What's that a reference to? Explains the Maharsha. Says the Maharsha. Marsha Kosev, Hani Vav Chadashim Einu Mefuresh B'Shum Makom Ma'ininu. These 6 months, it's not clear exactly what that's referring to. V'Nira Lefarish, D'Miyom Shesamach Melech Bavel Al Yerushalayim. Marsha says this is a reference from the time that Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim. Dahainu Miyud Teves Ates B'Tamuz. Right? The whole discussion exactly, again, when different parts of the Chorban, who are we associate, you know, Tisha B'Av as the Chorban. Right? But from Asar B'Teves to Tes Tammuz, when the walls of the city were breached, right, as explained there, Heim Vav Chadashim. So for the 6 months, again, the initial 6 months, from the time of Asar B'Teves until the 9th of Tammuz, which again was the breaching of the walls in the first Beis HaMikdash, during those 6 months, during those Vav Chadashim, Uva Osan Vav Chadashim, Hirchika Ates B'Tamuz, Olsa Hashchina V'Yashuv Mekoma, Debo B'Yom Buta HaTam. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hanging around, hoping that maybe the Jewish people would change their ways, until eventually, unfortunately, the walls were breached, and the Karban Tamid was stopped, and that was really the end of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, right? Or signaled the beginning of the end of Avodas Beis HaMikdash. So what do you see from this? Klamar. Pirud HaShchina MiYisrael Doma LeZug SheMisgarshim. The disconnecting of the Shechina from the Jewish people is like a couple that's getting divorced. You don't wake up one day and decide you're just getting divorced. Right? Unfortunately, the relationship unravels. Vada hayu kama shlavim shel machlokas. Right? First there was some fighting, some disagreeing, right? And it was all sorts of, you know, difficult things. Kodem shiigiu laoso yom shenasan abalas aget. And there was a process from the time that they first started to feel disconnected until the husband actually gave his wife a get. Gave her a divorce document. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'at ma'at hisrachik mi'Yisrael machmas chetam ad shehigia yom ha'chorban shebo kiviyochol hayu gerushin gemurim. So it was a process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu moving the Shechina back until eventually the Chorban, in a certain sense, signaled the divorce. But now says Rabbi Radinsky something very deep. When we think about Beis HaMikdash, so what is Beis HaMikdash, right? There's the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's what's happening in Beis HaMikdash. And they're both important, right? I mean, the presence of the building itself is chashev, and then there's the avoda, which is sort of represents the inner essence of the life of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The building is like the body, and the avoda is like the neshama. So he writes in the bottom paragraph, he says, V'hinei, the Beis HaMikdash yesh nechalak. Beis HaMikdash, you have to think about it, of having these two dimensions. Hatzura hafizit shalabayis tahainu havan. There's the physical structure of the building, which is stone. V'achilek hapnimi, I like this, it's a very good way to think about it. I never thought about it really like this. The chilek hapnimi shalabayis hu ha'avodah v'akarbanos. That's the spiritual, that's the pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash, the avodah and the karbanos that are brought there. Habinyan hafizi shalabayis eno doches ha'shabas. So, what's the rule? And this will help us to understand why we can fast on a Asar B'Teves if it falls out on Shabbos. Can you build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos? What's the halacha? Is Binyan Beis HaMikdash Docha Shabbos?
No,
that's the whole point, right? The 39 malachos, the things that you, the 39 malachos that they use in making the Mishkan, right? The 39 malachos that you can't do on Shabbos. So, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the physical structure of building Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Shabbos. What about Avodas Beis HaMikdash? We forget about this sometimes. It seems so strange to us, but in Beis HaMikdash,
yeah,
right? They brought Karbanos. They brought Karbanos on Shabbos, of course. It sounds strange. Fire, burning things, yeah, Karbanos. Right? The same way it's not strange for us to cook on Yom Tov in Beis HaMikdash, they cooked on Shabbos also. Right? So the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Shabbos. Masha'ein kein avodas hamikdash, could go on carbon tamid, right? Carbon musaf, etc. Doiches a Shabbos. Ah, so says Aridinsky, where it's underlined. Vim kein. Efshar lomar she yom tzom shemisamal es azivas hashchina hapnimis. So you'll ask yourself, what is a Asar B'Teves? On the one hand, it's the most external because it's what? It's Nebuchadnezzar just laying siege. Right? It's Nebuchadnezzar, you know, just beginning to make his way inward. He hasn't, you would think, Chorban, that's the destruction of the building. Or you would think, the breaching of the walls, that's again a greater violation. But on a certain level, he says, Sheyom som shemitzamel es azivas hashchina. If we understand that what? That the departing of the Shechina, right, which is really the pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash, the presence of Hashem, right? So if that's the innermost essence of Beis HaMikdash, again, if you have the building is most chitzoni, right? And then the karbanos are more pnimi. The hashras hashchina, the presence of Hashem, is the most pnimi, is the most inner. So therefore, this day, right, which is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu again is deciding if he's going to stick around or not, roi sheyidches haShabbos. So this day should be docha Shabbos. The same way bringing a karban to docha Shabbos, determining of whether or not God's Shechina is going to be found in our midst, should certainly be Docha Shabbos. That's what Asar B'Teves is. Kevin shebizman shahaya Beis HaMikdash kayim avodasa dochsas haShabbos. The same way that the avodas Beis HaMikdash should be Docha Shabbos. Right? So Asar B'Teves, which is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the departure of Hashem's presence,
and fighting for that should be Docha Shabbos. Masha Ein Kein Tisha B'Av, which is what? Tisha B'Av, which represents the Churban HaChitzoni Shel HaMikdash, the destruction of the Eitzim V'Avanim, the physical structure of the Mikdash. Just like you can't build the physical structure on Shabbos, so when you fast to commemorate it, lo yidcha tzomo es haShabbos. The fast should also not override Shabbos. Okay? Make sense? So Asar B'Tavis, in a certain sense, again, is really challenging us to answer the question, do we care if there's Hashras HaShechina in our life? Does it bother us that Hashem's, you know, again, obviously on a certain level, Tisha B'Av, is the most chamor, because that's the end of the end. But the beginning of the end, in some ways, is the most important. And that's what Asar B'Tavis is. This is the beginning of the whole process of Churban, starting with Nebuchadnezzar laying siege around Bayis Rishon, laying siege around Yerushalayim, right? Trying to begin that process of destroying holiness. And the question we are forced to, again, address on this day is, do I care? Does it matter? More Hashras HaShechina, less Hashras HaShechina, Hashem being present in my life, Hashem not being present in my life. Right? Again, we can all agree on a certain level that you know, when the Beis Hamikdash is finally completely destroyed, that's the worst. And that's why, by the way, the halachos of Tisha B'Av are more demanding than Asar B'Tavis. But the Asar B'Tavis has this weird, you know, outlier of a halacha that you could fast even on Shabbos. Shabbos is Yom HaDinishmasa. Because the Asar B'Tavis, again, is the time where we're challenging ourselves, we're asking ourselves, do I care about the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash? Do I care? When things start to fall apart, does it bother me? Do I try to stop it? And that's really what Asar B'Tavis is. Right now we have to decide on this day, do I care if there's going to be a Tisha B'Av this year or not? He's going to clarify that a little bit further. But he said, this is a half an answer. Right? This is an incomplete answer. And the reason it's an incomplete answer, he explains in the next paragraph, is because if Asar B'Tavis is really so serious, they could even fast on Shabbos, right? So then why not have all the restrictions of Tisha B'Av? Right? And again, if we're concerned with what? With the inner life of Beis HaMikdash, so then Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, which is when the walls were, you know, we're breached and the carbon Talmud was stopped, or test Talmud. Again, we fasted on Yud Zayin Talmud. So that's also an attack on the inner essence of Beis HaMikdash. That's when we stop bringing the carbon Talmud. That's the Avodah. We said the Avodah represents the inner life of Beis HaMikdash. So why Dafka Asar B'Tavis? We need to clarify this answer a little bit more. So he quotes in the next paragraph, the paragraph that begins Va'ayin B'Bnei Yisachar. He says the B'nai Yisachar and the Chassam Sofer, they explain an interesting idea, powerful idea. Shemavarim shemikevan shasar b'teves hu tchilas ha'ishtalshulis liyom ha'chorban, like we just explained. That since Asar B'Tavis is the tchila, is the beginning of the ishtalshulis of the Chorban, it's the beginning of that chain of events, that process that leads to the Chorban, l'chein yesh bo chumrazu shedochas ha'shabbos. It has a certain intensity that it's Docha Shabbos. Because now is the chance to try to slam on the brakes, right? Once your life is totally out of control, you almost have an excuse. Why are you so out of control? At this point, I'm way deeper into it. It's hard to change. But when you first made that first decision, right? When you first moved away from a certain thing in your life that was positive, and you first started, you know, tasting the forbidden fruit, that was the chance to say, whoa, 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 I don't want to go down this road. So Asar B'Tavis is that chance to say, well, we don't want to go down this road. Obviously, the Chorban is the worst part, right, on a certain level. But here's the moment where you can choose. And therefore, it's Docha Shabbos. There's a sense of an emergency. What else is Docha Shabbos? Pikuach Nefesh. If you have an emergency, it can't wait. So there has to be a sense on Asar B'Tavis, like, this can't wait. If we let this linger, it's going to spiral. And that's what happened. It leads to all of the other elements of the Chorban. So he explains in the bottom paragraph. Look at the bottom paragraph. And he'll introduce one more idea from the Avudra Ham in order to help us better understand. Ulahavin oymek yom tzom zeh. Yesh lahaktim she'eila shadanu ha'achronim be'inyan bias ha-Mashiach tzikein. Let's talk about Mashiach. When is Mashiach going to come? When's the date of Mashiach? So the Avudra Ham brings in his commentary on the Haggadah that Mashiach yavo rak bin Nisan. Avudraham says that Mashiach is going to come in Nisan. Right? As the Gemara says, b'Nisan nigalu, b'Nisan asidin ligal. In Nisan we got out of Mitzrayim, in Nisan we're going to get out of this galus. And he uses that to explain in the Halach Va'anya, right? Halach Va'anya, Hashata Avdei, right? Right now we're Avadim, we weren't Zochah to the Gula this Nisan, but Lashona Haba, hopefully next year Nisan will be Zochah to it. So we have an idea that Mashiach is going to come in the month of Nisan. The Chavetz Chaim used to say that in the month of Nisan, a Jew has to feel that Mashiach is like a 50-50 chance every moment. Not like, yeah, it could come. No, you have to try to feel more deeply, like every second, it's to the degree that it's possible that it won't come, it's equally possible that it will come. That's how you're supposed to feel in the month of Nisan. But however, you know what the question is. Turn the page. The question is, on the top of page, Reish Samach Beis, L'umas Dvarav, Kosim Kama Migdor Le'achronim, Shemuchach Mechazal, Shebechol Yom Yachol, Mashiach Lavo. We also know, and there's many Gemaras and sources that indicate, that Mashiach is supposed to come, or could come, any day. So which is it? Does Mashiach have a particular time of the calendar he's supposed to come? Or is Mashiach able to come any day? And he quotes six lines down, he says, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Koisev, Shekol mi she'eno mamin she'yavo Mashiach hayom, if you don't believe Mashiach is coming today, O mi she'eno mechakalo, kofar b'ikar, and if you don't look forward to Mashiach's arrival every day, then you're a kofar. You're denying one of the principles of Jewish faith. U'bepeirusho leparachelek, the Rambam in his commentary on Sanhedrin, and parachelek, kosev, she'adam kazeh yotzeh miklal Yisrael. A Jew who's not a believer that Mashiach can come every day, and a Jew who doesn't long for Mashiach, is not a Jew. He's not a Yid. He quotes here, he says, Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, wrote in one place, apparently, in the Kisvei Grach, Koisev she'adam she'eno Talmud Chacham, if you're not a big Talmud Chacham, Achmamin b'yud gimel ikarim, but you believe in the 13 principles of faith, Nikra Yisrael ama'aretz kosher. You're called a Jew, a kosher Jew, who's a little bit ignorant, you should learn more. But you're a kosher Yid, you're an Erlach Yid. But on the flip side, you could be a person who knows Kol HaTorah Kula, but he only believes in 12 out of 13 principles. And Kfar Yatza Miklal, Shem Yisrael. Then you're not, that's not a Yid. You're not called a Yid. The Rambam says the definition of being a Jew is to believe that Mashiach could come every day and to long for Mashiach every day. Right? So which is it? Is Mashiach coming in Nisan? Or is Mashiach coming today? So he says in the next paragraph, Hinei Ikra HaYesod Shal Gedolim Hanal. So the way that many of the Achron and many of the Gedolim explain this sugya is based on one simple Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Chasam and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Zochu Achishena Lo Zochu Be'ita. The Gemara says the Mashiach is going to come either Achishena or Be'ita. Pasuk in Navi. Be'ita and Achishena. The Navi says, the Mashiach will come in its time, Achishena, and I will hasten it. Well, which is it? Is it? Does it have a set time, or can we speed it up? And the Gemara explains that verse by saying, Zachu, if we're worthy, Achishena. If we do our part, we can speed it up. If not, lo Zachu be'ita. Klomar, if Yisrael enam osim tshuva, az Mashiach yavo bizman misuyam, uvechodesh misuyam, if we don't do our part, if we're just going to wait for the natural arrival of Mashiach, then the month of Nisan is the time when Mashiach is going to arrive. But if we get ourselves ready, if we speed ourselves up, if we do what we're supposed to do, so then what? The Mashiach can come early. Right? And Mashiach will come leaping, skipping ahead, Hainu Belis Seder, Lamala Menateva, V'yachol Elios, B'chol Eis, V'chol Zman. The Mashiach could be any time, right? Whenever we're ready. Tzura Zu Shal Bias Mashiach, Hi Matana Gadol Me'eis HaKadosh Baruch. And the fact that Mashiach, right, can come in accordance with our behavior is a very chashuv thing. That's a big gift that Hashem gives us. Hashem's empowering us. You choose. You want Mashiach or not? If you want it, I'll make it happen. Hashem's on our schedule. It's amazing. He gives us the authority to bring Mashiach. Ukamosha Amar Rav Chaim B'Shem Agra, like the Vilna Gaon explains, Shekol Od Shemashiach Ba, Afilu Rega Echad Kodim Zmano, Pal Yisrael lo yitzdarchu la'avur es shlavei v'chevlei Mashiach u'melchemez gog u'magog. Do you know what it means for Mashiach to come even a second early? What a gift that is. That's one less second of people suffering. That's one more minute of people not having questions that are unresolved. It's another moment that a Jew doesn't have to go through the Chevelei Mashiach. It's one less second of the war of Gog u'Magog. Chevelei, the birth pangs of Mashiach. Right? But it means the suffering. Right? It's like the suffering of a woman who's giving birth, which is the suffering that of course gives birth to something beautiful. Right? But the pain, the suffering of the Jewish people, if you could speed that up and you can get Mashiach here a day early, a week early, a second early, it's gevaldik. It's a big gift. It's a tremendous matana. So says Eridinsky, the last two lines on the page, Harayon shal achishana, husha kadosh baruch hu hishir lanu tikva, shal yidei mitzvah achas anu yecholim letzeis min hagalus, ulivnos es hamikdash miyad. This idea of achishana, what a powerful idea. That we can speed up Mashiach's arrival. It's not just a question of Mashiach. It's not just a question of Jewish suffering. It's a question of believing that the mitzvos that I do actually do something. It instills within a person the belief that a particular mitzvah that I do could tip the scales, could get us out of galus and could lead to binyan beis hamikdash, right? In a very real way. U'mitzvazu efshar la'asosa b'chol eis u'b'chol shah. And that mitzvah can be performed at any moment because Mashiach could come at any moment. In other words, I'm always in a situation where I could do something big. That's what it means. That's the takeaway. The fact that I could do something now that would advance the arrival of Mashiach by even a second means that I have tremendous power. V'chol yom v'chol rega shemesugo l'shanos esamatzav yesh behem chumros yiseros. And now he says, now I'm going to make my point, he says. He says, and whenever you have the ability to change the situation, when you have it within your means to do something to respond, to change a particular situation, so that's considered what? That's considered an important moment, an intense moment, an opportunity. It has chumros yaseiros, it has an additional level of severity, of stringency. Again, why can I take someone to the hospital on Shabbos if they're injured and it's serious? Right? Because if I don't treat it now, treating it later may not be the same type of treatment. So because of the ability to address something and to fix it now, that creates an intensity, that creates a chumrah, that creates a stringency of how I need to act. Okay, and we're going to see how he uses that to explain why Asar B'Tavis can be fasted even on Shabbos, yeah.
Okay, so I was just thinking that
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if this is the route he's going to go, but like based off of what we said, Asar B'Tavis is the beginning of the end, so to
exactly.
speak.
Exactly.
So could we say that Mashiach is really supposed to come in the month of Nisan, but it's on any particular day that we can start the beginning of that process?
Very nice. That's a gewaldic way to look at it. I never thought to say it, though. There's very deep and mysterious ways of saying it, how time itself can be moved around, meaning you can make today Nisan if you want. But the only thing of I like this Vart a lot. It's a very smart way to say it. You're saying that you could start preparing for Nisan now, right? And the hachana for something is already part of that something. If you're mechin for Shabbos, if you start preparing for Shabbos earlier, so you tap into the world of Shabbos earlier, right? So in the chanami, the gula is going to come in Nisan, but you can choose, right, when Nisan starts. We choose when Nisan starts. Again, there's like a more kabbalistic, mysterious way to say that. But then he says, no. By being Mashiach mindful, so that's called entering into Chodesh Nisan. Right? You're creating the Zman of Gula. That's how you attach yourself to Nisan. It's a very powerful way to say it. That's very good. That's very, very good. So he compares it here, and this is based really in part on the Chassam Sofer and others. He says, let's talk about a Tanis Chalom. What's a Tanis Chalom? You have a terrible, scary dream, and you feel I need to fast to try to be mavata what I saw in my dream. It's too scary, it's too real. I want to fast as a way of negating that it shouldn't come true. Can you fast the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos?
No.
You can.
Yes.
Why? Based on what we learned today, why?
You don't want me back to happen on Shabbos.
Because right, there's a feeling I need to respond now. I just can't wait. I can't fast on Sunday. I need to react to this immediately. Because I feel that the danger is immediate. Right?
The danger is present. So he says, Ulahamchish Asadvarm, on page Resh Samach Gimel. The paragraph that begins, Ulahamchish Asadvarm. Nakdim Mashmavur Bilcha Shabbos and Resh Pechas. Let's talk about the halacha, but Tanis Chalom. Hamachaber Posek, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Sha'odom Yacholet Som, Tanis Chalom Beshabbos. If you have a scary dream, you can wake up Shabbos morning and say, I'm going to fast. Vitam Oshim, who Yehia Kola Shabbos. Doeg mitzdar is a battle with mitzvahs on Shabbos. Because, you'll tell me, eating on Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos, but this guy is so nervous that if you don't let him fast, he's going to have even worse Shabbos. So his Oneg Shabbos is what? What makes him feel better? Fasting. Fasting makes him feel better. Kasher Odom Samba Shabbos al Chalom Ra, when he fasts on Shabbos over this bad dream, Humargish Tov, he feels better. Because he believes that through his fasting, he can be mevatel that decree that's chas v'shalom hanging over him. So says Rudinsky in the next paragraph, in a similar fashion, now we understand what the Avudraham, right? What the Avudraham, quoted by the Beis Yosef, is saying. You can fast on Asar B'Teves, even on Shabbos? Yeah, the Pasuk says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Says the Beis Yosef, Lo Yadati Minayin Lo. I don't understand where he got that from. Right? So he said, we know where he got it from. He got it from the Pasuk. And just like by Yom Kippur, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So too by Asar B'Teves, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. What the Beis Yosef was really asking is, but why should that be? Why is Asar B'Teves unique, right, in that you could fast even on Shabbos? What does it represent? After all, it's this long period of a siege around Yerushalayim and the eventual breaching of the walls and the eventual Korban. But it's not like a moment in time. So where Dizzy is saying it is a moment in time. It's a moment when you realize that you're moving in the wrong direction and you have the opportunity to stop it before it spirals out of control. That's a choice. That's a critical moment. Right? That's an emergency. That needs to be dealt with immediately. Like a Tanis Chalom, like someone who's injured low and lean on Shabbos. Take them to the hospital. Why are we letting me chal Shabbos? Because I need to respond now. There's no time to wait. So he says, in a similar fashion, v'chach efshar lefarish esom asara b'teves. She'af al pi shetukan. Al mashe karash nasayim v'cheti kodem achorban. Even though, yes, the origin of asara b'teves is Nebuchadnezzar laying siege to Yerushalayim 2.5 years or so before the Chorban. B'chol zos yesh bo ma'al yaseira al shar hatzomos. But it has a certain advantage or a certain intensity over all the other fast days. The Jewish people still could have made a choice. They could have made a choice in those moments. They could have listened to the Nevi'im who were telling them, you're in trouble. They could have listened to the Tzaddikim who were telling them, change your ways. And then maybe it could have been reversed. Right, it was like a bad dream that was starting to happen before their eyes. What do you do if you're in a danger like that? You could fast on Shabbos in such a dangerous situation. Because they couldn't stop the Chorban from unfolding, from actually happening. So therefore, to commemorate that idea, to instill within the hearts of the Jewish people that idea that sometimes the moment is critical, and if you don't chop a rein, if you don't capture the moment now, it'll dissipate. And if that moment dissipates, if you allow it to just fizzle out, if you allow the hisoris to fizzle out, or if you allow that negativity to set in, it's very hard to get it out. V'lechein gam hayom efshar letzom b'shabbos. Ki osa ha-bechina shahaysa oz nish'ara gam hayom. Because that message, that lesson remains with us today. And therefore, in this factor, Asar B'Teves is unique. Shua Rosh L'chol T'kufas HaChorban. Uvo HaYekoach La'atzor as a heres she'amad l'vo. They could have stopped destruction that was impending. Masha'ein Kein Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you can't fast on Shabbos. You know why? Because at that point, it's too late. The fast itself is more intense on a certain level because you're dealing with a base of mikvahs that's falling to the ground. So that's why Tisha B'Av has other chumras. But in terms of fasting on Shabbos, it's not an emergency anymore. Right? You can't undo what's done. The damage is done at this point. Very sad. Asha'ein kein Tisha B'Av, shemesamal es etzem kiyam ha'gzeira, uva'osa azman kvar lo haya shayach lishanos as hamatzav. They weren't able to change the situation at that point. It was too late. And therefore, Tisha B'Av was not Docha Shabbos. So again, there's really two yesodas that we learned from Radinsky today. And the first one, I don't want to forget the first one, even though the first one he said is imperfect, it's an important point. The first one is that Asar B'Tevis on a certain level represents, they're connected, obviously, but Asar B'Tevis represents the Pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it the Pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash? If it's the whole siege, it's so chitzoini, right? No, because it represents the Galus HaShechina, right? Which gradually began to depart. And again, the Shechina is the essence of Beis HaMikdash. So while it's true, the siege seems to be most external, right? But the siege which caused, again, Hashem's presence to start to abandon us, that's what the Beis HaMikdash is about. That should bother you the most. The Hashuras HaShechina. Yes, the physical building is the body. The Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash is the Neshama, right? So therefore, the neshama is more important than the body on a certain level. But you have to understand how the siege, right, how the siege around Yerushalayim, which seems to be so chitzoni, actually is, like again, like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah told us, the beginning of that departure, the various stages of the Shechina leaving Beis HaMikdash in accordance with our sins. And therefore, on a certain level, we have to respond to that. That's the most serious. That's the loss of the essence of Beis HaMikdash. But now he's developing a second approach, which is what? The essence of the Beis HaMikdash or the chitonius of the Beis HaMikdash, the bottom line is we're focusing on from a linear standpoint, this was the beginning of Korban. And the beginning of the problem is when we have to realize that we have an emergency here. If I wait till tomorrow, it's not going to work. It's going to be too late. If I let this linger, it's going to be a serious, serious problem. And therefore what? Therefore, it's like a Shabbos emergency. It's like a Tanis Chalom. Right? Hayotze midvarenu, he writes the last three lines on the page. Hayotze midvarenu. Sheyud b'teves misamelas es ha'achishena shebegula. So just like again, like the Gemara told us, there's the right time for Mashiach to come, and then there's the hastening of the redemption. So this day is a day of achishena, it's a day of trying to hasten the geula. It's a day where we have to make a choice. The Chassam Sofer writes it very clearly. Chassam Sofer writes that today is the day where it's determined if there's going to be a Tisha B'Av this year. Right? Can I renegotiate tomorrow or next week? Nope. We're deciding today. Right? Which is why we should daven in Mincha and Gluck today a little slower, you know? Because today we have to decide. Do we want to sit on the ground and cry and fast and mourn on Tisha B'Av this year or not? And the hearts of Klal Yisrael on this day are going to put into motion whether that becomes our reality or not. So there's a sense of achishanat, there's a sense of hastening, of emergency, right? Of a speeding up of the hastening of the geula. And the reminder that what? That we have within our ability to make the geula come, not only in Nisan, but any moment. This is a tremendous chizuk for us. To think today, on this day, this very day, like the Navi said, the pasuk that the Avudra Ham brought. Shalom. I'm just going to read the last couple lines. I didn't photocopy it for you. Just two more lines. Right? If I can make shalom bein ish l're'ehu, if I can make peace between people, I'll tell you why maybe he's saying that. O mitzvah katana acheres, or a small mitzvah that I do, that might tip the scales. That could make Mashiach come. Ani yachol lehevias Mashiach, right? I can decide today, I'm thinking about the Pesach Seder, like Donnie said. I'm already getting into a Nisan mentality. I'm in a geula mindset. I'm going to think about, the five Torot. I'm going to think about Torah Tzion. I'm going to sign up today for YU's, Israel senior program, pilot program for next year. Is that what I'm talking about? Right. I'm going to spend my last year of college in Eretz Yisrael. Right. I'm going to use that as a stepping stone to my making Aliyah. I'm going to become more Geula mindset. Right? I'm going to develop more of a Geula mindset in my life. Lezet tzarich, right? And he says, "V'lo tzarich lezet tzadik." You don't need a tzadik to bring Mashiach for you. Elakol echad miitanu yochu la'achrias hamishkol. Every one of us can tip the scales. V'al yidei kei nizkes shatzom hazeh yahafeich l'simcha v'niras segula meher b'yamino. I want to add just one point because he started off by saying it's a good day to make shalom ben ish l're'eyo. Why did he say that? One of the secrets of Asar B'Tevis, a big tzadik who passed away very recently, Rav Shlomo Fisher. Those who have heard of Rav Shlomo Fisher, they're Joey Rosenfeld fans. Maybe you saw it on his Twitter. Rav Shlomo Fisher was a very chashuv Rav in Eretz Yisrael. So Shlomo Fischer has a theory in the Sefer about Asar B'Tevis. What happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? What else happened on that day? What happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was when Moshe broke the Luchos, right? Why did Moshe break the Luchos? Egel Azav. So Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is Egel Azav. One of the biggest sins in our history. Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av? His mitzvah fell. What was the sin that put it into motion? That day became a bad day? What was the origin? I'm going back to the origins. Meraglim, right? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is Chet Egel. Tisha B'Av, one of the other biggest averus of our national history, is what? Is Chet Meraglim. Like the Gemara says, they cried on that night. Hashem says, I'll give you something to cry about. So Rabbi Shlomo Fischer has a theory that if Chet Meraglim was on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was Chet Egel, and Tisha B'Av was Chet Meraglim. So what's Asar B'Tevis? So Yoni said it. He has a theory, and again, it's hinted to in a lot of different ways, that maybe Asar B'Tevis, one of the other terrible tragedies of our history, was what? Was Mechilas Yosef. Again, which put into motion Galus Mitzrayim, right? Again, he has different. He talks about this in his Sefer Drashos Beis Yishai. He brings different proofs to this idea, but we know that Yosef and the brothers, right? There was a lack of communication, right? There was a lack of shalom. We just read in the Haftorah this past week, Parshas Vayigash, which highlights on the one hand the awesome tension of Yosef and the brothers, specifically Yehuda. Right, specifically Yehuda and Yosef. But then, of course, there's the reconciliation. It's not by chance that right before, Asar B'Tevis, which according to Shlomo Fischer, is the sale of Yosef, that we read about what? In the Parsha, the Shabbos that leads into this week, this fast day, is what? We read about Yosef and the brothers, the height of their tension, right? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. The height of that tension, and then what? And then the resolution of that tension. What was the Haftorah this past Shabbos? We read from the Navi Yecheskel. What does it describe? It describes what? It describes the world of Yosef and Yehuda, right? It describes the world of Yehuda and Ephraim uniting, becoming one. And it says, at the end of the Haftorah, they read on Shabbos, V'karati lahem bris shalom, Bris Olam Yihyeh Osam. There's going to be a Bris Shalom. There's going to be a covenant of peace. There's going to be Shalom. There's going to be reconciliation. Korban Bayis Sheni, Sinas Chinam. If today is the day that commemorates on a certain level Mechiras Yosef, so today is also a day of what? Of Achdus. The Lubavitcher Rebbe writes in the Likutei Sichos in the 30th volume, you know what Nebuchadnezzar did when he placed a siege on Yerushalayim? On the one hand, he said, oh, it's terrible. But you know what? You know how the Lubavitcher Rebbe with his holy eyes saw it? What's the tikkun in that? It forces us to be together. We're trapped together. It's a forced achdus, right? Stay together, face each other, and work out your differences. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. So much tension. Right? But by the end of the parsha, everyone's hugging and kissing. And everyone's reunited. And everyone is apologizing to each other and saying, don't feel bad. And then we read this Haftorah from Yecheskel about these two, you know, wooden rods that are becoming one. The world of Ephraim and the world of Yehuda coming together. And Hashem says, V'karati bris shalom. There's going to be a bris shalom. There's going to be this awesome reconciliation. Okay? I'll tell you a nice remez. What's the gematria? Bris shalom. Because that's the goal. That's why we read it in the Haftorah this Shabbos. As we prepared ourselves for Asar B'Tevis, now we have the opportunity to live. What's a bris? How much is bris?
612.
How much is shalom?
9 something 8.
376. Yeah, Gematria Esav is Shalom. It's Gematria Esav. Because the final Gullus is the Gullus of Esav, right? This Gullus Edom. And Esav is Edom. Edom is Esav. So Esav is the antithesis of Shalom. And that's why it says about Esav's family, it calls them Nefashos, they're all separate, as opposed to the Shivim Nefesh of Yaakov's family, one soul. Kishachar Belevachar. So how much is Bris Shalom?
988.
Valdek. And what's the Gematria of Asar Betavis?
988, probably.
Oh, guess. Let's check. You have it on the top of the page. How much is Asara?
I'm terrible on
doing Asara, 575, it looks like. And how much is Betavis?
413.
Does it work? Or no?
No.
Yeah? 988.
Oh,
578. So Asar Betavis is Gematria Bris Shalom. That's what we're trying to do. You didn't realize what you heard this past Shabbos when you heard the Haftorah. Right? Maybe you weren't even listening at all. But if you were listening, you heard a beautiful story from Yosef Yecheskel about worlds coming back together and Hashem's going to make a Bris Shalom. You didn't realize that those words, Bris Shalom, is Dafka. That is the Tikkun of Asar Betavis. That was the forced Achdus that Nebuchadnezzar created by laying siege around Yerushalayim. So today, again, it's a day of a lot of things. It's a day of, first of all, you know, the alarm goes off on Asar Betavis. It's an emergency situation. But decide right now if there's going to be a Tisha B'Av this year. And again, part of that tikkun is, again, respecting one another, fixing the Sinas Chinah, which was the actual cause of Churban Bayis Sheni. That's a big tikkun. Right? And to realize that today is a day also where I have to ask myself, do I care about Hashras HaShechina in my life? When the Shechina starts to depart, even in some small measure, again, it was a process, the Gemara says. There's 10 steps. But when the Shechina starts to leave my life, right, do I care? Or do I say, it doesn't matter, I still have the outer trappings of Yiddishkeit. I don't care if I feel it on the inside. I don't need the inner presence of Hashem. I still got the building. If you only care about the building, you're missing the point. That's why the emergency, the alarm was ringing. It was an emergency to me. Critical situation. If it was Shabbos, we'd be fasting. Yes, Yoni.
Two things. We spoke like a month ago about what the Shekhinah actually is,
yeah,
and how it's like the convergence of a lot of Jews.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually
we are the Shekhinah, yeah.
Now also that if you say that Beit HaMikdash was like the central meeting point for all the Jews,
that's right.
The start of the end is when a lot of Jews can meet
together. That's right, that's
right. And that means the Ashras HaShekhinah.
Interesting. So the disconnecting of Jews, right, is a form of the exile of the Shekhinah. And again, that's the beautiful paradox of Nebuchadnezzar. I love what Lubavitch Rebbe says. It's the beautiful paradox of laying siege upon Yerushalayim, right, is on the one hand destroying us, on the other hand it's forcing us to be together. Right? So that itself is sending the wake-up call. Like, don't you Jews get it? Don't you understand what you need? If you're not going to have the Bris Shalom, then you're not going to have anything. You need to have the Bris Shalom. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
So obviously, some people fast on the outside, right? Like, you follow your mother's outside.
Right.
So if that falls out on Shabbos, do you just not do it, or do you like take it upon yourself for like Erev Shabbos?
I don't know, I assume you maybe do it a different day, I don't know.
It's definitely not on Shabbos, obviously.
I don't know, there's different approaches to yard site. Some people fast on the yard site, some people have to make a, you know, Suda or Siyam on the yard site. Right. Is it a day of fasting, or it's a day of eating and making brachos? Yeah, it's obviously easier to eat and make brachos to Kavana. But yeah, I'm not sure what people do for that. Fast before or after.
You have people in the shul.
But it's a serious thing.
But you fast. You know,
right,
you
right. But if it falls out on Shabbos, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what people's practices. Yes,
you actually fast in yard sites?
Yeah, some people fast in yard sites. Believe it or not.
Yeah, it feels like it's different than religion.
Yeah, believe it or not, people fast in yard sites.
I'm probably giving too much meaning to this, but you mentioned that now we have a new calendar than before. When I saw it, it originally happened. That originally, that you could fast on Shabbos,
could
you
need to.
But now it's kind of, maybe it's deep in a certain sense that it's the one fast that can be on Shabbos, that will never be on Shabbos.
So what does that mean?
I haven't
What's the lesson in that? No, I mean, it's a fast that theoretically could be on Shabbos, but it's not on Shabbos.
Meaning that you won't need to.
But again, the Shabbos is also the day of the Neshama, so it's a day, again, right? If someone says to you, what's Shabbos like for you? Oh, Shabbos by me, I have 16 dips and 12 flavors of herring and
caps already off
different shulants and like a good l'chaim. So you're telling me everything is, that's all chitzonias. That's not Yom HaDin HaShemasa. We say nishmas on Shabbos, nishmas kocha. We talk about the neshama. Shabbos is the yom of the neshmasa. It's the day of davening, it's the day of learning. Of course, it's also to create an environment the same way that a navi has to be in a good mood and they would play music in order to get prophetic, you know, connectivity with Hashem. Right? You can't get nevuah, you can't get ruach kodesh if you're sad. Right? Good question. But there's an energy that you need to create to be in a good mood to be able to tap in. Right? So Shabbos also. The nice clothing, the nice food, candles, all the kiddush, all those things create, right, the avira to be able to tap into yom ha'dinishmasa. But again, if you get stuck in the chitzonius, you miss the point. That's what Asar B'Teves is. On the one hand, it looks like it's chitzonius, it's a siege from the outside, but it's mamish attack on Ashras Hashchina.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it comes on the heels of Hanukkah. That's right. By the way, that's also why really these days are really three festivals. You know that the 8th and the 9th and the 10th are all supposed to be festivals, and we commemorate the 10th. You know about this? In the Slichos, or Asar B'Teves, which hopefully some of you were zeichet to say this morning. Right? So we say in the Slichos for Asar B'Teves, we talk about the three things that happened. We talk about how the Melech Yavan,
was just the
70, right? How Talmi, the Greek king, commanded rabbis to go into different rooms and to translate the Torah, right, into Yavanis. Translate the Torah into Greek, and they made certain changes. Right? And because of that, the Medrash says, that Chazal say that it brought 3 days of darkness upon the world. It's a very dark time, and they translated the Torah into Greek. Even though it was a big miracle that each rabbi in his own room made the same changes. Right? Certain things and certain phrases in the Torah, the Gemara Megillah says, it would have looked bad. Like Bereishis bara Elokim. It sounds like there's something called Bereishis that created Elokim, that created God. So they changed it to what? Elokim bara Bereishis. They changed the first. They made other changes in the Torah. So that happened on the 8th of Teves, and it brought 3 days of darkness to the world. That's a fast day. What happened on the 9th of Teves? Tarof Toraf Bo Hanoisin Imre Shefer, Hu Ezra HaSofer. It's the art side of Ezra HaSofer, the 9th of Teves. Ezra HaSofer is one of the most important people in Jewish history, in terms of the restoration of Torah Judaism. And then the 10th of Teves is today, right? And like we spoke about, it's Etzem Hayom Hazeh, the Nebuchadnezzar laid his siege. But today, you know, like Dani said, it's, in some ways, this idea is very much a continuation of Hanukkah, in fighting for the spirit of the Beis HaMikdash. Why were there 3 days of darkness when they translated the Torah into Greek?
Why 3 days?
Why 3 days? I'll tell you why. Rav Nosson Gestetner is a great tzaddik from Bnei Brak. I was zeichet to meet one time. So he says, he writes in the Sefer, Lahoros Nasan, he says, because Torah has Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod.
So why three?
Chassidus, yeah. But if you translate the Torah into another language, what do you get? Get just the pshat. What do you lose? Ramez, Drush, and Sod. They don't work in other languages.
Well, even then
you need the letters. Pshat. You need the holy letters. So for each of the three halakim of Torah that was lost, a day of darkness descended on the world.
You miss pshat also.
So that's Chanukah. Chanukah is the ultimate of Torah, the Ur of Torah, the Pnimius of Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? All of that is lost when you translate the Torah into a foreign language. So these are days of Pnimius and Ezra Sofer. Right, Ezra Sofer, who got Jews back to you know, woke them up. Right, maybe there were certain things on the outside they knew about, but on the inside, needed a revolution. Yeah.
Maybe an idea to answer your next question about how a certain TV is a day that we could fast on Shabbos and never fall down on Shabbos. It's kind of like Hashem, like us giving as much as we can for Hashem, and it's like we have like done our bit so that like we could that we would even fast on Shabbos. And Hashem saying like no, but like don't worry, like I got it for you.
Right. Because even if bichitzonius we don't care about the neshama, but pnimius we do. So I mean, Shabbos is always going to be Shabbos, and Hashem is like protecting it that it doesn't. But we have to care a lot. Today's the day, you know. Again, like Yairudinsky started the piece, it's hard to connect to Asar B'Teves. It's not, we're not in the days of Tshuva, of Elul and Tishrei. We're not in the Bein HaMitzarim. It's kind of random. It feels kind of random right now. but it's a big deal. It's really the moment where I decide when a little shift takes place in my, you know, in my life. Do I catch it before it spins out of control, or do I let it spiral out of control? God forbid.
Have you ever done a Tanis Chalom?
I have never done a Tanis Chalom. Have you?
Do people do that at home?
You could. One certainly could. I've never done it. Anyone here ever fasted a Tanis Chalom?
I heard that it's not recommended if we're like younger, and it's going to affect our day and not make us learn well or do anything else well.
Right. We sometimes say that with fasting. Better to keep the other pieces of my life in place than to fast. Yeah.
I'm sure there's people who do it.
I have people that did like a ton in Seabor.
Yeah, that's really shtick, like in Yeshiva.
It wasn't shtick. People legitimately did it.
Yeah.
What do you do if someone tries to talk to you when you're doing it?
ISO.
What?
I'll tell you one last part. And we'll call it a morning.
What? You know sign language?
Anyone know this pasuk? It's in I think it's in the Tzavim. Or maybe it's in Vayelech. Oh yeah? Where is Vetir as Shikutzayim? Is that in your parsha? Yeah? Oh, wow. You guys are holding. Okay, the pasuk says, Vetir as Shikutzayim, Ve'ez Gilulayim, Eitz Ve'evin Kesav Ezav Asherim Ahem. Yeah. What does it mean? Vetir as Shikutzayim, you'll see they're disgusting things. They're Avodah Zarah. Ve'ez Gilulayim. Right, Eitz ve'Evin, Kesef ve'Zav, all the things that the nations of the world worship, right? All the things that they make into a Avodah Zarah. Right, Eitz, Avodah Zarah made out of wooden structures and stone structures, Kesef and Zav, silver idols, golden idols. It's in it's Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Tazayin. V'tiru et shikutzayim v'eskiluleim, Eitz ve'Evin, Kesef ve'Zav, v'sharim ahem.
Chavtes Tazayin?
Chavtes Tazayin.
I don't know, it's the third
Aliyah,
I believe.
So, your mom is amazing. So, the Brisker Rav has a Vart.
It's the longest Aliyah, it's 15 seconds.
The Brisker Rav has a Vart. It's very Kedai, what we learned today. The Brisker Rav says, again, the Pashup Shad is you're going to see the Avodah Zarah, which is made out of wood, made out of stone, made out of silver, made out of gold. And he calls it Shikutzayim. They're abominable things, detestable things. The Brisker Rav said, This pasuk is actually talking about a downward trajectory that sometimes happens to a person. It's a very chashuv part. You're gonna like this one. V'tira es shikutzayim. Sometimes when you first see something, right, that you know is unholy, you're repulsed by it. I would never do that. Disgusting. Shikutzayim. I would never do that. Right? But if I don't respond in a strong way, again, this is what a Sarva Tevis is about. If I let it linger, if I don't deal with it, if I say, oh, it's just a siege under Yerushalayim, they're never going to breach the walls. Oh, they just breached the walls. They're never going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Oh, they're never going to... Oh, they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. It's, right, it's too late. You have to catch it at the beginning. So the Brisker Rav said, V'tiru es shikutzayim. Sometimes you see something, and at first it's check it. It's disgusting. It's abominable to you. Right? As gilulayim, it's gross. It's repulsive. But then what does the pasuk say? Eitz ve'evin. But if you let it sit around for a while, then what? It's not disgusting. It's not so attractive. It's plain. It's like stone. It's like wood. And then what's the end of the pasuk?
Kesef
ve'zav. Next thing you know, it's like, ooh, that looks really good. Comes desire. So the Brisker Rav says this pasuk is merames to the downward trajectory that sometimes overcomes a person. Right? What you thought... I remember, I'll never forget. Never forget this. I don't know why it sticks out of my head so clearly. I know a guy, I remember he got back from Shana Bet. I was already in YU. I knew him from camp or whatever. Came to YU. And I remember one of his like first days in YU, I ran into him on the street. Or exactly, I don't know why this sticks out of my head. And he's not like a yeshivish guy at all. Just like he must have been very inspired in Israel. And I remember he was like very upset about something to do with like the why, like the play, you know, the YU production. Like either he didn't like that, like it was
it's co-ed for people to watch the play. I don't know, he was like some frum thing about the play. He was upset about the play, right? Very like, very upset about the play. I know this guy today. He wouldn't be machfir on whatever he was machfir on then. He wouldn't be machfir on today. Meaning at that time it was like, oh, how could that be? Right? Like with a kanoz, like how could that be? And now, like, he's many, many steps away from that. And maybe he was too extreme then. Maybe he was being too from. Right? But the point is, if you think about the things in your life that were once maybe, like, a strong value of yours, and, like, you would have been repulsed. I would never do that. Right? It's totally outside of my, like, bechira, what I would do. And then, like, yeah, I wouldn't do it, but I don't look down on it anymore. And then next thing you know, it's kesef v'zav. Next thing you know, oh, yeah, I do it all the time. That's, like, kishmak by me. So that's again, that's what a Sarva Tevis is. Do I stop? Do I stop the Churban at the start, or do I let it fester until it destroys the Beis HaMikdash? Alright, so we should be Zocha to connect deeply to this day. Yeah.
I don't think that, I mean, that's a concept that relates to obviously a Sarva Tevis, but I don't think that concept has to be negative. I think
not
it could be positive too.
For sure.
Like you're repulsed by something that's like good.
For sure.
And then eventually, like,
for sure.
Get accustomed to it.
That's right. Used to find learning and davening so boring and so unattractive. And then over time, it became meaningful, even though I still don't enjoy it. And then it becomes kesef v'zav by me. Yeah, that's right.
Two-way street. Yeah.
For sure. That's why. Ta'amu ru'u. Taste it and you'll see. Experience it and you'll see. Ki tov Hashem. You know? Experience it. You gotta be willing to give it a shot. All right.